Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome to 101 Films live from the Kit Kat Club! This is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
So this week, it's Cabaret.
Cabaret!
I'm doing jazz hands. You can't see, but I am actually doing jazz hands.
Amazingly, we just watched the YouTube video. Instantly forgotten how the Cabaret song goes. I was going to sing Cabaret right at the beginning. We've literally just watched it.
So memorable,
a second ago.
So memorable.
Life is a cabaret, old chum.
Come to the cabaret.
There, I remembered it. I knew I would in the end. But before we get into Cabaret, 1973's classic. No, 1972's classic, the Cabaret, we've got some correspondence.
So this week we've had an email from Andrew who recommends the gangster classic Goodfellas.
Yes, it was a lovely email from Andrew. Thank you for your very kind words. And he recommended Goodfellas.
So I suppose what everyone's thinking is it going to go on the list, Ian?
Andrew, Goodfellas is on the list. Well done, Andrew.
So what's the pitch of this one?
Okay, pitch for Cabaret. Well, it's springtime for Hitler. But no one knows it.
Right.
So it's if Cabaret is a film about set in the Weimar Republic in the early 30s. I think it starts in 1931, and just so it shows the kind of Berlin and its kind of decadent height. Just before the Nazism really took hold, and before that.
It was quite a fun place.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Yeah, full of jazz, full of, jazz. and loose women, and jazz. It's great. We have Liza Minnelli playing Sally Bowles, a kind of an American who is a cabaret singer, the main star of the film. You have Michael York, the quintessential Englishman abroad.
Michael York's been in a lot of films.
He has.
I was really, it's like, he's been in hundreds of films.
Well, he's
hundreds
a,
and
he's,
hundreds
he's
of
an
films.
Actor.
Yeah, I suppose.
that's his job.
But when I tried to think to name them, I could only think of Austin Powers, Logan's Run, and Cabaret.
I forgot about Austin Powers.
There we go. That's
yeah, he's good in Austin Powers. Yeah, yeah. Yes, anyway, so he plays Brian Roberts. And I suppose one of the other kind of key performances in it is Joel Grey playing the kind of slightly frightening and creepy
MC.
Spooky.
He's very good in
it. He is excellent, yeah.
Apparently he spent a long time kind of practicing his German accent so he could get it right. And, you know, he was very convincing. I thought he was German, actually.
Yeah, so did I, actually, yeah. So it's all about Sally and Brian, really, and their relationship over the film.
Yeah.
They kind of get together, kind of things don't quite work out. And just in the background there, there's this bubbling, rising threat. Mm. You feel, I don't know about you, Liz, but as watching the film, I really felt like a feeling of dread, slowly. Mm. Like these characters just not knowing how horrific things are going to get,
yeah.
How things are just around the corner from them.
It's interesting, isn't it? You know, when at the height of that kind of decadence and kind of fun and just
jazz
you don't know what's around the corner. It's really interesting, and I guess with the recent kind of economic woes in kind of this country and around the world, it's kind of a similar thing. We never knew how good we had it until we lost it, you know?
Well, that's an interesting you say that, because at the end of the film I did think that all those characters just had no idea what their futures entailed.
Yeah.
And it just makes you think, wow, that was 1931, 10 years later there was in the middle of a world war.
Yeah.
And you just think, wow, 10 years from now, we just don't know what's around the corner. But, and I think the very fact we were thinking all that surprised me. Because I don't know about you, but I just thought of it. I assumed it was going to be a bit of a camp classic. Should say this is your film, isn't it?
Yeah, I recommended this one. I only saw it myself a few months ago, but I've kind of got it thinking, oh, you know, it'd be nice to one to sit down and watch, and you know, just well, probably just a bit of a laugh kind of thing.
Yeah.
Actually, it's quite an interesting and intricate and really well shot and directed. It's an amazing film.
I'm really surprised how much I enjoyed it and how powerful I found the film as well.
It really sticks in your mind for a long time afterwards.
Yeah, and I think you said like this was obviously the second time you'd seen it and you enjoyed it even more the second time.
Yeah. I mean, the dialogue is fantastic.
Yeah.
Really, really good. There's some fantastic lines on here. I was looking through some of the quotes from the film earlier and I was just like, oh, yeah, there's some real cracking lines in there.
Yeah. Have you ever had sex with a dwarf? That's one of the lines. That's the only line I wrote down of the entire film. It really is a very, very good film. And just really surprised me how much I enjoyed it. And as I say, how interesting I think I found it, rather than just enjoying it kind of as a camp kind of classic, which I assumed it would be.
No, exactly. It's not at all like that. I kind of thought it would be like a traditional musical where, you know, everyone sings, I'm getting a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the bath now. You know, it's just like, I kind of, yeah, I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff.
No, no. What do you mean? Characters just breaking into song.
Exactly, for no reason.
Just no real reason, yeah.
Mary Poppins is the exception.
Mary Poppins, okay. And South Park the movie.
Yeah. But the songs in this case are just kind of there. They're all performed in the Kit Kat Club, the cabaret club where Sally sings. And they're there.
Great name for a club.
Kit Kat Club.
The Kit Kat Club. Can't even say it's that good. The Kit Kat Club.
It is a good name.
Yeah,
but they're all kind of set against the backdrop of the movie. And they kind of talk about what's happening.
Yeah,
in the
they
film.
Comment on the rest of the film. Mm. So you'll have a scene or you'll have a sequence, and it'll cut back to the Kit Kat Club where there'll be a song being performed, which will somehow comment on. Mm. On what's happening or make a reference to the characters in some way.
Songs are really good though. Really, really good.
And I think you're right. It's actually a great way of almost having your cake and eating it in terms of having a musical but doesn't have that sense of the unreality that most musicals have.
Yeah, exactly. And the performances are really, really good. I mean, Liza Minnelli is amazing in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's do the trivia quiz before we start get carried away
okay,
talking about...
Okay, fantastic. Let's do the trivia quiz. Trivia quiz. I was talking to someone who's listened to the podcast, and there's
a woman?
She recommended that we, at the end of each round, we give the answers then.
Oh, okay.
And then that way the person who goes second will be like, oh God, they've got three answers right. I've got to really up my game. What do you think? Should we give it a go?
We'll give it a go.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. What's the next line from the song Cabaret? I made up my mind back in Chelsea when I go.
All right. Can you sing it for me, please?
No, I can't.
So
I made up my mind back. Oh, God.
Made up my mind back in Chelsea.
When I go, rhymes with Chelsea. It's name of a woman that rhymes with Chelsea.
Chelsea.
When I go, I'm.
Well, he's doing the actions, listeners. He's really trying hard. I don't know.
Don't know. Okay.
I can't even think of something that rhymes with Chelsea.
It's a woman's name.
Chelsea?
Moving on. What's the name of the drink Sally makes for Brian using an egg?
Oh, God. No, I can't remember.
You have seen this film.
Yeah. Again, you're asking some quite obscure questions. I don't know.
They drink them several times in the film.
What is it? It's a peppermint...
Yeah, well, it tastes of peppermint because she made it in a toothpaste glass.
That's right, yeah.
And it's egg, Worcestershire sauce, and... Pepper, I think it is.
Yeah. Oh, I can't
begins
remember.
With P. Two words.
No,
I'm giving you lots of help this week because I felt so guilty about the last week.
I don't know. I can't remember. I know. Yeah, I remember peppermint. That's all.
Okay. All right. Last question. What film stopped Cabaret from winning Best Picture in 1973 at the Oscars?
I know that one. It was The Godfather.
Yep, you're right. So so the answers. The line was, I made up my mind back in Chelsea, when I go, I'm going like Elsie.
Elsie, Chelsea, Elsie. Yeah, okay, yeah. Right. I don't remember that line.
Okay. The drink made using egg is a prairie oyster.
Prairie oyster, right, yeah, okay.
And you're right, Godfather 1 piss.
Bloody hell, 1. Jesus. This doesn't make it more exciting at all. Okay, right, so Brian Roberts, played by Michael York, is a English student who's doing a doctorate in what subject?
Ooh.
And he's doing it in, is it Cambridge?
I think it is. Cambridge, yeah. Okay, complete guess, German literature.
German literature, all right. The film, as we said, is set in Berlin in the dying days of the Weimar Republic with the rise of Nazism. If Hitler, or basically, or if Hitler considered renaming Berlin, if he won the war, what was he going to call it?
What was he going to call it? Blimey. No idea. Eva Braun.
Brownlin.
Brownlin, yeah.
Okay, and finally, what was particularly ironic about Tomorrow Belongs to Me, the and its relationship to its authors?
Oh, well, that's easy. It was written by two Jewish guys.
All right, okay. Right. Okay, so you only got one right, Lewis. We tied. The Brian's doctorate was in philosophy.
Philosophy? Why was he in Germany?
I don't know. Well, I think he was just doing it to earn money, wasn't he? Just to teach in English. I don't know. It was never really made that clear. Anyway, so yes, he was doing a doctorate in philosophy. Berlin was supposed to, was Hitler considered renaming Berlin Germania. Yeah, I know. I know.
Just reminds me of Insania by Peter Andre.
I think Hitler thought the same thing. And your last one was correct. What was ironic about the authors and of Tomorrow Belongs to Me, the kind of Nazi anthem written for this particular film, they were Jewish. And that actually led them to being accused of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also been used by various kind of far-right groups since then. Oh, well. So, a tie. That's disappointing.
It is disappointing.
Didn't really add anything, that suggestion, did it? Maybe we'll go back to the old way next week. All right. So, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, so Liza Minnelli, I mean, I never really got what she was about before. You know, when we were growing up, it was just, she was just the kind of crazy woman, you know, who appeared on TV, and I didn't really know what she'd done. Yeah. I didn't know why she was famous.
Friend of Michael Jackson's, along with Bubbles. All that kind of crew.
Yeah, exactly. You. What was his name? I was going to say Yuri Gagarin.
Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space.
Yeah, hanging out with Michael Jackson and Liza Minnelli. Yeah, what times they had.
Yuri Gagarin, Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
All that lot. And also, who's the guy she married? Liza Minnelli. And the very strange kind of camp, odd, like action man looking man.
I can't remember.
That's where we've forgotten his name, because he was all over British television, wasn't he? Like a couple of years ago, you couldn't move for him.
Is it David? Someone?
Oh yeah, David.
David Schwimmer. Okay,
David Schwimmer. Yeah. No, but you're right. I completely agree. Never really got Liza Minnelli at all, but in this, she is fantastic. It's an incredible performance. She's got an amazing voice.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Some of the songs, she just belts them out. It's just amazing performance. 110%, yeah. She gives. 110%.
Like a real showbiz trooper. Very fitting of Judy Garland's daughter. Just stepping up there, giving her all. Because what's the song? Yeah, sort of. There's a moment in the film where she's kind of a bit confused, and she performs the song.
Maybe This Time?
Maybe This Time, yeah. And it's more or less, you see sort of the cabaret club, and it's kind of more or less empty.
Yeah.
And it's just her, and she's just really going for it.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible performance.
Yeah, really, really good.
And she has certainly a certain something. It's funny, isn't it?
Well, we talked about, I think, back in Annie Hall, we developed the idea of Manic Dream Pixie
Girls. Well, we didn't develop it.
Yeah, we invented the idea of Manic Dream Pixie
Girls. The American pop culture website AV Club came up with this concept, the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, who comes into your life, mixes up a kind of staid man's life, and sort of, turns their life upside down and makes it them interesting, and they have a great time.
Yeah.
She is a manic pixie dream girl, but she has the difference is usually manic pixie dream girls in a lot of especially kind of films now don't seem to have any sort of desires or interests of their own. Mm. They're just all about the guy. Whereas she very clearly does have her own interests and desires and wants and needs, but she still has. She's just a crazy girl, isn't she? She's a crazy girl who straight away gets your attention.
She's trouble.
She's trouble with a capital T, but my God, you're going to go for it. But there's a great bit in the film where Michael York, being the quintessential Englishman, strolling along beside her. They're having a chat. And she's like, darling, I want to know everything about you. Tell me all about you. I want to know everything. He's like, everything? He's like, everything, everything. He's like, oh, okay, well, I was born in Cambridge. And then straight away she interrupts him and starts talking about herself. And Lewis turned to me, gave me a very knowing look. It did remind me a lot of a previous ex-girlfriend of an ex-girlfriend of mine. I was like, yes, yes, that's her. There is something
you went out with Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, I like that Liza Minnelli. Yeah, in 1930s Weimar, Germany, it was quite a whirlwind relationship involving time travel and Nazis. Oof, that's all the best films and all the best relationships. But yeah, what is it about crazy girls, Lewis? Why? Tell you girls, if you ever really want to get a man interested, do things like that.
Yeah.
Ask questions, don't listen to the answers, talk over them, and they will be enraptured.
It helps if you have a bizarre haircut as well. I do like the kind of like...
What are you saying about my ex-girlfriend?
I like the way her hair kind of meets in the middle. But
it's a very kind of 20s look, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about kind of pointy hair. I'm not sure about that. I know kind of fringes, but pointy hair?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that kind of something boyish short hair was very much in vogue back then, wasn't it?
Do you think she cut her own hair?
No. No, definitely not. But the one big difference between this and... actually, we should say the film is based on sort of three sources, really. Mm. There was an original book written by Christopher Isherwood, I think, called...
Isherwood or something.
Called The Berlin Stories. Yeah. And from that, a play... called I Am a Camera. Not the first name for a play. Based on those stories, that was a play. And then that was, I think, made in the early 50s. And then in 1966, a Broadway musical called Cabaret.
Where's this going?
The film was based on all three. It wasn't a direct translation of the musical. They drew on all the different sources.
Yeah. I think they did a good job, because they seemed to have basically just cut all the dead wood and just gone straight for the jugular.
Yeah, I agree. And in the book, she's a very self-deluded character. In fact, she can't really sing. She's a particularly good singer. And they have changed that for this one, where she has...
Imagine how awful a film would be if she
couldn't
sing.
I suppose that works fine, as you say, in a play or in a book. But in a musical, you really do need it to be able to sing. Otherwise, it's going to be quite awkward.
Maybe this time.
So what surprised me, I think, going similar to when we did Sound of Music, was I was like, oh, is that where that song comes from? Like money. Money makes the world go round. And I was like, oh, that's from Cabaret. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good song.
It's another one for your karaoke sessions.
Yes. I suppose so. Talking of the songs, some cracking songs. We've got your favourite.
My favourite, the one that stuck in my head for weeks afterwards. Yeah, Fiddly Dee Dee Dee, Two Ladies.
Fiddly Dee Dee, Two Ladies.
Fiddly Dee Dee Dee, Two Ladies. Fiddly Dee Dee Dee, and I'm the only man.
Yeah, that was all right. The song, the kind of the main song, Cabaret, that's really good.
It's a good one, although you can remember the line from it.
I remember roughly the tune. And all the songs, as we said earlier, all the songs kind of inform on the plot. Mm. And they fit seamlessly in. It's not like, I don't know, I suppose there could be a danger where you're watching the film and then, we're back in the club with the song now. It doesn't feel like that at all.
Yeah.
It really works very well. They're great songs.
I watched Nine not long ago. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't seen one to eight.
I mean, it was a pretty poor kind of... In your own time, here. In your own time.
Go on.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good film. It was basically because the music was rubbish.
Yeah.
You know, but it kind of followed a similar plot to kind of Cabaret, in the sense that there was this film set that this guy was trying to make a film, and then every now and then on the film set, someone would come on and perform a song.
Mm.
But all of them were rubbish. So it was kind of case you were like, oh God, there's another song coming. There was only like one song, which was sung by Fergie from Black Eyed Peas, was actually any good.
Wow, that's...
That was the highlight.
That's saying something. Good grief.
Good grief.
we already mentioned it, but Michael York is very good in this. Mm. His character is a slightly interesting character, kind of bisexual.
Yeah.
Character who's kind of, it begins he's gay, but then he kind of falls for Sally, Liza Minnelli's character, which is why I do think perhaps that's why Liza Minnelli is so popular in kind of gay culture.
I think she's because she's Judy Garland's daughter. That's why she's so popular.
Here we go. One, she's Judy Garland's daughter. Two, she's in a film called Cabaret. Mm. Three, she sleeps with a gay man in Cabaret. It's an incredible performance. She's like the girl gay guys can love. It's incredible. Yeah.
So. Can't sleep with women, but Liza Minnelli's okay.
Liza Minnelli's it's okay. Fine. Just as straight guys will tend to have one guy on their in their locker, they would. With Liza Minnelli, for a generation of gay men, was there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I would her.
Well, it's a sweeping generalisation, but it's funny, so I'll allow it.
And true. but Michael York, he's very... I suppose it's understated, his performance. Perfect in keeping with the character. You know, slightly awkward Englishman.
Like, yeah.
Being kind of pushed and buffeted by events.
It's interesting, because he kind of gives as good as he gets, in a way. You know, he kind of somehow manages to absorb all of Sally's kind of ego and lets it wash over him. And he's kind of able to hold his own against her. Whereas you imagine that for most men, she'd just be like a tidal wave that completely takes them over.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. He kind of... Yeah, he's an interesting character.
Interesting.
I ran out of things to say then.
What I do like, I think you're right, he kind of lets the weak ego wash over him, but I think he also takes some of that ego for himself.
Mm.
He kind of somehow manages to incorporate some of her kind of bohemian craziness. That lovely scene near the beginning of the film where they're both standing under the railway arches, and just screaming as the train goes over, just because they can and can't be heard as the train goes over. And that's the kind of moment where his character starts to kind of leave his stuffy English ways at home and become part of the jazz scene in Berlin. But of course, it's not all good in Berlin at this time.
No.
No.
Why not?
Old Hitler's sticking his oar in, ruining people's fun.
Hitler.
And
Someone should really
tell him off. Now it's a subplot of the film, or how would you describe it?
That is probably the main focus of the film, I think.
It's almost hidden from plain sight.
But that's what makes it so good, because it shows you what it would be like for this kind of thing to be happening in the background and you not really paying attention to it, but then gradually building and building until you have to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole kind of thing. You know, they've done a really good job of showing what it must have been like for ordinary people. You know, some people saying, oh, you know, these, you know, ignore them, you know, they're not going to amount to anything. And others like thinking, well, actually, maybe they've got the right idea. And then it's all suddenly people are fighting against each other. And then, it's really interesting.
I suppose it's right. And what's that old saying about, you know, if you chuck a frog into a boiling pan, it would just jump straight out. But if you slowly heat a boiling pan, the frog will stay in and die. That kind of feeling of things just getting worse and worse.
I'm not familiar with that old phrase.
It's an old phrase. But it's an analogy, I guess, rather than a phrase. And, you know, like, it was suggesting if things get really bad suddenly, people straight away react to that. But gradually things getting worse, gradually things moving a certain direction, that people just don't notice it until it's too late. And there is that thing. Yeah, you know, at the beginning, you see right the first sort of sequence. There's a guy, a brown shirt, going around collecting for the party, and he gets kicked out of the club.
Yeah.
By the end, the last scene in the set in the club, pretty much, you know, 60% of the audience are all in Nazi uniforms.
Yeah, it's a chilling ending.
Yeah, and it has one of the kind of most chilling and I think best scenes in the film, which is all about Nazis with Tomorrow Belongs to Me, where Michael York's character Brian is with the suave and dashing Max, who kind of he's sort of a German baron of some description, who kind of comes in halfway through the film and gets involved in Sally and Brian's lives and messes things up. But there they are in this beer garden, you know, kind of little German village, and you sort of see a young lad just on his face to begin with, don't you? And he's just sort of singing this sort of almost like a folk song, like, you know, oh, this is nice. And it slowly pans out, and you see his Hitler Youth uniform, and he's singing this song, "Tomorrow Belongs to Me." And it gets more and you know, the character, people watching it, and at first you sort of, you're not sure their reaction, whether they find it weird or whether they're enjoying it, and slowly they start to join in, and one by one they start to stand up and sing it with a real aggression and joy and power. And there's that kind of one little old man who's sort of just looking around slightly bewildered and sad, seeing it all.
So you've seen too much of this before, the First World War, you saw what was happening.
It's terrifying. Just ordinary people just getting swept up in it. Do you know what it reminded me of? It's almost like a reversal of that scene in Casablanca. They sing
The Marseillaise,
yeah, and like, yeah, it opens with some Germans all sort of singing some Oompa Loompa band music, you know, and then they start singing the Marseillaise over, and it becomes this rousing cry for freedom. Everyone in the club joins in. Well, this felt the complete opposite. Everyone joining in to run it down, to run down democracy, to run down freedom. Oh, it's creepy.
Yeah, Bob Fosse, I think, did a really good job in the direction. There was one scene actually that really stood out for me, and that was where they had the kind of tableau of a kind of a murder victim in the street, and it wasn't clear who'd done it or who it was.
Oh, like the aftermath of kind of fight on the street between the communists and the Nazis.
Yeah, that's right. And there's just all the, they kind of drive, I think they drive past it in the car.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But, and then it kind of proceeds to kind of do close-ups on several of the people looking, and they're just motionless, standing still. They're not acting or anything, they just stood stock still looking at this body in various poses of shock and confusion. And I think that's a really interesting kind of scene. It's totally different from the rest of the film. I don't think there's any other tableaus in there. Perhaps at the beginning in the opening club scene.
But
yeah, it's kind of really interesting, really, you know, brings home the kind of horror of what's happening.
Yeah, I think the direction was fantastic, actually. And, it was a really great balancing act of having that, as you say, the kind of main thrust of the film, of the build of the Nazism and the kind of fall of this kind of, I suppose, joyous bohemian culture, and it being subverted for the use by the Nazis. And it doesn't feel like it's the main part, the main thrust of the storyline. But it really is. And, we're talking about that, the Tomorrow Belongs to Me scene, the camera pans back, and you see, first of all, this angelic face of the boy, and you notice the boy's wearing the Hitler Youth uniform.
Yeah.
Another scene that just really sticks out is when they kind of live in a kind of apartment block, sort of, how would you describe it, sort of faded, diggings.
Yeah, it's a kind of faded grandeur, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've got some sort of slightly eccentric older people there, and there's a bit there where they're sitting there and they're walking, as they walk through, they're discussing politics, and it's quite funny, and it's just hilarious pointing out the contradictions. Is that all Jews are communists and they're all bankers? It's like, how can they be communists and bankers? And he's like, well, they are, that's how clever they are, that's what they're doing. And you start to, but again, that kind of that creep, that slow creep of those ideas.
Yeah, it's scary.
So, weaknesses.
Weaknesses?
Do you think there are weaknesses to the film?
I can't think of any.
Well, can I be controversial? I don't really think it has any weaknesses. I'm not saying it's perfect or the best film ever, but I think it sets out exactly what it sets out to do. It achieves everything. It goes at a good pace. The characters are given a degree of resolution. The only characters aren't really given their stories aren't given resolution are the kind of two friends, Natalia and Fritz. The kind of two Jewish.
Oh yeah, Natalia? Natalia and Fritz. Yeah.
Yeah, the Jewish couple who.
But that's purposely because
yeah, exactly, yeah, and it's left hanging. Yeah, yeah. It's not given a trite ending of them going, we've decided to go to America or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
They get married. And then it's just, you know, that you sort of see them being starting to suffer from the effects of anti-Semitism, but it's just left, you know, you're left to ponder what will happen to this lovely young couple who are in love and have their entire lives ahead of them, may not have their entire lives ahead of them.
Exactly, you know, Fritz comes out as a Jew, kind of, and then you're suddenly thinking, oh God, this is might be the worst mistake he's ever made.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, but then it's for love, and it's like, oh, it's very, very good.
Yeah.
I can't think of any good weaknesses.
No, I think it really works well.
It's one of those films that actually I quite happily watch again now. It's deemed repeat viewing.
Oh, I completely agree. It works. I would happily sit through and watch it again. And that's quite rare for me. I must say, there's not a lot of films I can say that about. Yeah, a lot of films even that I'll enjoy, but I'm not sure I could sit down and watch the watch again.
Just out of interest, what films do you find yourself watching again and again?
Because
I remember you went through a phase of watching Fight Club quite a bit.
Did I?
I think so.
I don't even remember doing that.
No.
Ooh, films I can watch again and again and again. Certain comedies. Anchorman I can watch again and again. That's only recently I realised that, though. Kind of suddenly I watched it on TV the other day. I was like, this is brilliant. And yeah, and I could happily watch that again, yeah, in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah.
Things like Shaun of the Dead, I can watch again.
Yeah.
Casablanca. Cool, so I can watch that. I've watched that several times.
I watch the same things. It's American just comedies. Comedies are the ones that I watch again.
American Werewolf in London, even though that's quite funny. I'm not sure I could watch that constantly. I have to be in a certain type of mood. But I have watched that a few times. I'm not going to spoil it, but I certainly want to see The Cabin in the Woods, a film I just recently saw. Very, very good. I want to see that again. And Cabaret. I'm adding Cabaret to my list. Adding that to my list. Whenever I want to get depressed about how things can get terrible without us noticing.
It's good, because it's politics and musical.
Yeah.
Your two favourite things.
And Manic Pixie Girls.
Manic Pixie Dream Girls.
It's a lethal combination for me.
Yeah.
It'll be my downfall.
There's another film you can watch again.
I have seen that. That was on their list, wasn't it? You've not seen it.
I've not seen it. No.
We'll have to do Downfall.
We could do it next week.
Oof. We could. We probably won't, though.
No.
So, don't want a Nazi double bill. So, would you recommend it? Well, I think we would. We definitely would recommend the film.
Great film.
If you've not seen it, everyone, really go out and watch
it. Good. Big question is, though, is it better than The Godfather?
Oh, okay.
Because they went head to head.
Yeah, and that's an interesting stat, isn't it? Because
Cabaret won 8 Oscars, but didn't win Best Picture.
Yeah, and it won the most Academy Awards, but didn't win the Best Picture award. So it's like got that record.
Yeah.
Is it better than The Godfather? I probably would watch it again over The Godfather.
Ooh. Controversial.
But then again,
Francis Ford Coppola's coming to get you.
I feel perhaps The Godfather is a story still not finished because I've not seen the second or third ones yet.
First one's the best.
Okay. First one's the best. I think I probably would watch The Godfather again, but Cabaret shorter. So it wins.
I mean, it's funny, we laugh, but actually that's probably what we're all thinking.
I think I probably would recommend it over. I think it just has generally more interesting. Not to in any way reducing how fantastic The Godfather is, because I really, really enjoyed it. But they're different beasts. But Cabaret just ticks, as we said, quite a few of my boxes. Sounds like a euphemism, doesn't it?
I know. If only there was a manic pixie dream girl in The Godfather. The tables might have turned.
Yeah, no, there isn't really, is there?
That's it. So please write into us at 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen@gmail.com with any suggestions. Do remember that Ian hasn't seen any films. And you can also check out the blog at 101films.wordpress.com.
And from there you can find links to our Facebook and Twitter pages. Should we set up a Tumblr page, Lewis? I feel like we're missing on a trick.
There's another bandwagon we haven't jumped on yet.
Exactly, yeah. We'll perhaps set up a Tumblr page. I don't know what we'll put on it, but...
No, I don't know.
No. Mm. But yeah, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, I'm our pal on Facebook, friend on Facebook. It's nodded there.
Yeah, good. So we'll see you next week.
Yeah, bye everyone.
Bye. I still like the idea of groups of young Tories beating up kind of men in working men's clubs. Well, yeah. I don't like the idea. I think it's a terrible idea.
Well, I think you've revealed a little bit too much about yourself there.